to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:06, August the 18th.
My best friend's girlfriend. My best girlfriend's birthday today.
That's right. And she was.
You're my best friend, but I mean my best girlfriend.
And you're my best friend. We'll get to you in a few minutes. Hey, our phone line's here, 530-605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and you can send us emails to Linda at KCNR1460.com, or just go to our website and start chatting with us, as many of you do, and send us great things to talk about. And we're joined, of course, by our producer, Bad Bob.
Nice and cool this morning.
Nice and cool. It's going to be a great day, but speaking of great, here she is, Linda.
Well, good morning. It's currently 58 degrees. Don't you just love it? It's going to be high today at 95. This is, if this is, it was Harley weather, picnic weather, walk on the trail weather, this is going to be a fabulous weekend. And today is going to be a fabulous day. So the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. 474-5546. That's the number for reservations. We'll be out there this Friday night, with an evening of jazz. I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to this night. You know, Rick Hill, Lou White, Bruce Kalin, Johnny Gonzalez. We're going to be doing music from 6 to 9, and I'm just really looking forward to this laid-back, cool night of doing some of my favorite standards. So join us. They fill up. In fact, I heard that they had already 27 reservations, and I think they only take 40 in that specific room, 40 to 50. A couple things. I want to let you know that what today is, it's called officially Dare Day. Why? On this day in 1587, Virginia Dare became the first child of English parents to be born in America. Don't you just love this stuff? I mean,
do you know what happened to Virginia Dare? I know.
What?
That was the colony in Roanoke that disappeared. But Virginia Dare was the first child born there. They don't know to this day what happened.
The colony what?
Disappeared.
I know, but what'd you call the colony?
At Roanoke. It's down in Virginia.
Right.
So, but Virginia Dare was the very first child born in the United States. Or born in America.
Roanoke Island.
English.
North Carolina.
That's right. Oh, did I say Virginia? I meant North Carolina.
That's all right, because you're from that area.
I had part of it.
Right. In 1920, women throughout the United States rejoiced as the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified to give women the right to vote. That was in 1920.
Hey,
that wasn't all that too long ago.
Have you noticed some changes since then? Here's
your
chance.
For the better.
Mostly
for...
In 1981, Rex Harrison.
You're such a wimp.
1981, Rex Harrison brought. What do you mean there? I'm just, you know what?
You know what he said? No, I'm married.
In 1981, Rex Harrison brought the award-winning My Fair Lady back to Broadway as he recreated Henry Higgins. Oh, Professor Higgins. Remember that? Such a great My Fair Lady.
No.
The play had originally opened in 1956. What do you mean you don't know?
I didn't remember.
Who's
that
the man
part?
Who brings me Oklahoma, who brings me all these wonderful musicals that you have in your stash?
Well, I don't know, but if I find him.
He does. It's wonderful. Okay, and fast forwarding, 1997, the Rolling Stones launched their Bridges to Babylon album tour, packaged with huge production numbers under the Brooklyn Bridge. That was a lot of fun. One of the things I want to tell you this morning, too, in case you don't know, and it's part of our youth, our culture coming up, and the boom boxes and the iPods. It seems that there's a study that only 1 in 5 American teenagers now are suffering from some type of hearing loss. An increased 31% since the mid-90s. Most cases of hearing loss are slight, affecting only one ear and involving mostly high-frequency sounds. Many teens may not even notice the hearing change, but about 1 in 20 have mild or worsening hearing loss, which can make them struggle to follow conversations or teachers in school. Now, that is from American Medical Journal, the association. I just thought that was kind of interesting because we are in this electric society or electronic society that is very loud.
Well, you know, at some point, and we've got to take a break here because we're getting ready to start with our guest, but, you know, at some point this week, we'll go over. There's a college or university that says it takes every entering freshman class or every 2 years and says what is different about their life than it, say, was ours. And what they have found in this class, this class that will be graduating in, 2014, the class of 2014, is that email is too slow.
Oh.
Email is too slow. They're going right to the they're going right to their phones. They're going right to their iPads. They're going, you know, directly with their texting, and that email is too slow, and that snail mail they is unheard of. However, some do disagree with that.
Well, look what's happening with our chat room. I mean, yesterday our chat room was on fire. So I don't know if rather than emailing and calling, even though that does happen, the chat room was just, yeah. That seems to be the way to go.
Well, you know, another thing they were talking about is, you know, that Clint Eastwood, okay, Clint Eastwood to them was a sensitive director. Nobody had even really heard of Dirty Harry. So it's just there's a number of things that this incoming class, I mean, forget about, you know, skates that aren't in line or anything that isn't in on disc, like a CD or a DVD. You know, there's no recollection of anything else, even though that Bad Bob is known to have the largest collection in Reading of 8-track tapes.
And, you know, everybody needs to study Dirty Harry. That's a must on your list of, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. No, Jim Brimmer is coming in. He says, oh, wait a minute. Turn Jim on here.
I have 8-tracks going back to the late 60s. Many of them need a little repair because, as Bob will tell you, the tape, you know, the tape that they use, you know, the adhesive tape to hold it together, usually it comes around, changes tracks, and then the tape breaks. But I have 8-tracks like you wouldn't believe.
And do you still have the players?
I have a couple of players. I have 2 recorders as well. I used to be able to record, you know, from record.
Right.
You remember those round things?
Oh, sure.
Like, they kind of look like big CDs.
Right.
You could actually record from those using a device called a turntable?
No, I am looking for a turntable. I mean, I'm just wondering, yes, because I have kept my old records, and I think that is a different audio sound than anything else, and I grew up on that, and I miss it, because CDs are slick.
Yeah,
and I want to hear that LP. So
yeah, and there are purists out there who say that LPs are the way to go.
That's
you know,
it,
audiophiles will say, no, forget the CD. You know, CD is compressed. It sounds good. Everybody says, hey, this sounds great, but it's not.
You can't hear that.
Quality.
You can't hear the much. You know, when the flicking
of the.
We're
getting hopelessly behind schedule.
I'm sorry. I had to jump in when you brought up 8-tracks.
Well, good, good, and I'm glad. See, because it's kind of indicative of an era. I know we got to take a break, but this is just something we could really talk about. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Our chat room is open. Give us a call here. We're going to be talking about what's that word?
Taxidermy.
After these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It is 7:16 in the morning, August 18th. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It's going to be a great day today. It's only going to be up like 98. It's going to be clear. It's almost like a veritable cold snap.
This is a day that you would want to learn to fly, which is the bump music we just heard from Pink Floyd. Where's Pink Floyd?
On rockers. On walkers. No, they're on walkers.
Stop it. They are awesome. Anyway, the weather today, it's going to be high today in 95. It's currently 57. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. What do you got there?
Well, you know, our guest. You know, we always we try to showcase local businesses. And if we can use the business, that's even better, if we've been a customer there. And this one's a little bit different. Our guest today is Bill Meyer, who is Meyer Wildlife Creations. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing all right.
Good.
And welcome to the show here on KCNR.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now you're in our shop now.
Yeah.
And we've been to your shop.
We've been to your shop. Bill does taxidermy. And what great work this man does. And the reason we know about it is because I went antelope hunting last year and was lucky enough to harvest an antelope. And then we had wanted to put a mount up, but it's called, what kind of mount is that?
Where that was a European.
And a European mount is just the...
Just the skull and the horns.
Right, the bear skull.
Right.
On a wooden plaque.
Yeah.
And it really is beautiful. We have it in the house. I'm not ashamed to say that I don't need to have the heads out in the garage. It's a beautiful piece. You have it in your office.
Yeah.
Good. More women need to feel like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might be different if it was a boar head or something, but, I mean, it's a beautiful. It goes with the Western attire in Carl's office beautifully.
Don't tell her about the boar head, though.
So, anyway, could you share with our listeners, there's a procedure that you use that I found to be fascinating, how organic it is.
Well, what it is, you go and you dry the skull out with the meat and stuff, and then you beetle clean it. And what I do, I don't have beetles in my shop. I send it out to be done.
Now, these are beetles.
Yeah.
These are called, little, yeah.
They're called Dermastead beetles, and what they are is they're actually carpet beetles. And what they do is they'll eat the hair and stuff and the meat off of your mounts and your skulls and everything.
So is there somebody, I know this is going to sound really funny, but I'm just curious, you know, the process. When you send the head, where are the beetles? Who's the person who has the beetles? That's a whole other industry.
Yeah, there's a guy down in Cottonwood who, his name's Jason, and he has the beetles. And what he does is he has a big walk-in, or like a chest freezer full of the bugs. And then he goes and gets most of the meat off, then dries it, and then sticks the dried skull in with the beetles, and the beetles clean it all up. And then after that, then it gets degreased and gets bleached.
Now, for people that find this kind of a weird subject, it isn't. I mean, when it comes back and it's absolutely clean, the beetles have a job, they're fed.
Right.
Bill has a job. Jason has a job over this. And you do such beautiful work. I mean, just beautiful work.
Well, thank you. I'm on the board of directors for the California Taxidermy Association, and then I support the mule deer, California deer, and all that. And I'm an avid hunter, so I am looking at these animals all the time. And so when I do my work, and I use reference photos, but I go to competitions to get judged on my work. And a lot of people don't put nictitating membranes back in, which is the little membrane in the eyes, or the septums on the nose. You know, you'll see a mount where the nose has just been plugged in with epoxy, where on all my stuff, you can actually look clear back into the nose.
So it's almost like museum quality.
Yeah.
Have your pieces ended up in places where one can study the wildlife and where we could see it?
No, not yet. But I, you know, a lot of people look at it all because I do all these dinners, you know, so, and the kids really love doing it. You know, I have a porcupine that's mounted. The kids love. Last year for my competition piece, I did a den of rattlesnakes, and I actually stuck a motor in it, and it's on a motion detector, so when you walk by, it'll start rattling.
Do you? I love that. But we got to take a break, but when coming back, I want to find out, you know, if you go to schools or if you do have a tour or how people want to. I want to share with our listeners how people can find out more about you. We're going to be right back. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Hi, it's.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road, right down from the Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley, the owner, has been servicing our local community since 1985, except the time he took out to be in the 82nd Airborne. Doug's a veteran, and he gives great service. He gives great accountability. The man takes responsibility for his work and for his people, and you don't see that a lot in a lot of areas. That's B&T Satellite off Airport Road. Phone number there is 244-1988. Our guest is Bill Meyer from Meyer Wildlife Creations Taxidermy. And we've got a phone call. We got a phone call for Bill right now. On the line is Patrick Jones, Mayor of Reading.
Carl, Linda, Bill, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing okay.
Well, I just wanted to call in and thank Bill. You know, I work on the Mule Deer Foundation as well as California Deer, National Wild Turkey, Ducks Unlimited, and Gun Owners of California. And I tell you, Bill is always donating one of his mounts. Those things are, you know, fairly expensive. He does a full shoulder mount. You know, tomorrow night at Gun Owners of California banquet, You know, I donate an antelope hunt, and Bill once again stepped up and donates a head mount for some young lucky youth that we have here in North State. And you know, I just wanted to call in and say, you know, thanks, Bill, for doing what you're doing and being so generous to the kids and making their hunt last forever. So I appreciate everything you do here.
Well, thank you.
And to encourage people to come by to the Gun Owners of California banquet tomorrow night and take part and help us out.
Where is it, Patrick?
It's at the Facero Hall tomorrow evening. It starts at around 5, and doors open at 5. Dinner is around 7 o'clock, and we can still take you out the door if you haven't signed up today. We can take you out the door, and you got an excellent prime rib dinner. And I encourage everybody to come out to the Anderson Fairgrounds Facero Hall for the third annual Gun Owners of California banquet.
And how much is the how much are the tickets?
The tickets and membership for a single is $70, and for a couple is $110. And of course, I'll be there. We give away lots of fabulous prizes, lots of guns, antelope hunts, mounts, the whole works. We'll have a lot of fun and raise some money for a very important cause, which is Gun Owners of California, our 35-year-old gun lobby group in Sacramento. They do a great job.
Well, that's great. And, Patrick, thank you so much for calling.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Bill.
Another number that you can call is for the California gun owners is Julie, and it's 916-984-1400.
And that was one of the reasons we really, you know, we brought on to talk about that banquet more. And we're going to talk about it because you can still buy tickets for it. You can still go to the door and get them.
Right.
But you can still buy them today. Now, just got a few minutes left. Somebody wants to bring their trophy to you. The important part is the field.
Yes.
Okay.
What happens is when you kill the animal, as soon as that animal's dead, it already starts decaying from bacteria because of the heat. You need to get it caped, get it cooled off as quick as you can. I've had people salt the capes and then stick them in a freezer and bring them back to me.
The cape is the hide. And
right.
This, when what we're talking about is opening the animal up. Field dressing it right there, cooling it off as much as possible.
Right.
Right. Okay, so they salt the cape, put it in the freezer. Good? Bad?
That's bad.
Okay, bad.
What does salt do when you put it on ice?
It melts.
Exactly.
There you go.
So it keeps the cape warm, so the bacteria growth amplifies in there, and so then you get what is called hair slippage, where the hair will start falling out of the hide.
Gosh.
So you either do one of two things. You either freeze it or you salt it.
Okay, but you don't do both?
No.
Okay.
For local hunters around here, the main thing is just get the hide off of the animal and take it to a taxidermist. I recommend going around and seeing a taxidermist before you even go on your hunt.
Right. And you need to take a look at the work as opposed to just price.
Right.
You know, and Bill, we're running out of time here. We'll have you back on again as the season gets closer, but how do they get a hold of you right now?
They can call me at 530-722-9556 or 604-4359, or they can find me on the web at MeyerWildlifeCreations.com.
That's Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, WildlifeCreations.com. The bottom of your card says game heads, life-size, rugs, and birds.
Yeah, I'm getting away from doing birds because of the fact that I want to keep my turnaround time to minimal, where people aren't waiting 3-4 years to get their stuff.
Right.
And if you specialize...
We're going to have to break here.
We'll bring you over on the other side.
Yeah, we'll bring you on the other side.
Okay.
Carl Lindebot on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR, welcome back to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Lindebot, it is 7:32 in the morning. Our guest is Bill Meyer from Meyer Wildlife Creations. We usually don't hold people over, but we had like two more questions. Do you have other guests waiting out here, Bill?
Right.
The important part, of course, is how you take care of the animal in the field after you kill it. And you talked about caping. If people drop by your shop, you'll give them a class on how to properly care for their animal.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have one that came in yesterday that was frozen from last year, and I need to cape it out. And it's really important for people who are going out of state because of chronic waste disease. You cannot bring an animal back into California unless you take the hide off of it and you take the skull cap off the skull. You cannot have any spinal cord or spinal fluids in it. So I have a deer head sitting on my floor right now, and if anybody wants to see how it's done or learn how it's done, they can give me a call, and I'll be doing it tonight.
Okay, well, the truth is, and we, and most of you who are listening, or those of you who know us, we really promote gun safety. And if you are going to hunt, and we want you to know, to be educated into doing it the right way. And Bill, that's what you're promoting as well. Here's just don't let something go to waste. This is how you do it properly.
Right.
And I've been to your shop, and you truly are an artist at what you do. You can tell that you're very passionate at your life's work. And we talked about the fact that people have specialties. Like some people, there's a guy that does fish, there's a guy who does birds, and your specialty once again is
the head mounts and life size. And I also do reptiles. I do rattlesnakes and stuff like that.
Well, I tell you what, the next time I find a rattlesnake in the backyard, I'm bringing him to you.
Just catch it alive.
There you go. Just bring it down and throw it. I'm just going to throw it in your office there.
That's fine.
Oh, okay. Our guest has been Bill Meyer, and I can attest for the work that he does. But he's also a local business, and born in Alturas, came down here, and does, like I said, he's a local man that does local work that we've had the fortune to do business with, and we heartily endorse what he does.
And tomorrow night,
well,
you're going to
be
out at the gun owners' dinner out at the Anderson.
Yeah, and I'll have a display set up out there.
The Sarah Hall.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Bill Myers from Wildlife Creations. We really appreciate it. Again, you can go to MeyerWildlifeCreations.com and check out Bill's work.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break here. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back. Good morning. It is 7:38. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
That's right. And tomorrow night, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Tomorrow night is cigar night.
That's right.
Your favorite thing. One of your favorite things.
One of my favorite things. I believe it begins at 6 o'clock or 6 p.m. And it goes, and we're going to have any number of cigars in different types, but I believe it's Brick House this time. And you can buy cigars and get cigars free. But the big thing is you go down and you learn about cigars, and they've got their experts there from the company. Joe and Shelley have provided their community room there, and there's always refreshments and snacks and that you can also eat and learn a lot about cigars, get really good prices on great cigars, and talk to the vendors. And it's really it's a night of camaraderie for you cigar smokers. And if you've got cigar smokers in your family, send them down there for that for just an hour or two. Let them out of the house. Let them go down there. Let them enjoy themselves. Get free copies of Cigar Magazine. I mean, it's the whole shooting match. So
it is. They do give away free
it's
copies.
It's great. That's it. Tobacco and Brew on Hilltop Drive. So join me. I'll be there tomorrow, and we'll sit down. We'll talk cigars. We'll talk about things that are going on in our community.
If you're just tuning in, it is currently 60 degrees. It's going to be high today of 98. What a beautiful day! You know, Carl and I decided when we were kind of looking at where are we going to spend our lives together. We got married, and we really thought on it for some time and decided that, of course, Redding, how else could we be anywhere but Redding? And so that has been a catalyst and encouraged us so much to really, be involved with KCNR and get behind, purchasing a radio station and doing what we can to really promote businesses and local. And so when we have this youthful energy that comes in, we are so excited about it. And today with us we have Alexis Pepple, and is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Heydrick, who are with the Catalyst Young Professionals. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So here you guys are, all shiny and fresh and just full of, the future and life and hope, and it's so infectious. Tell us about who you guys are and how you started the catalyst.
Sure. So we're the Catalyst Young Professionals of Reading. We've been around for about 5 months. Chris and I were talking about it out there when we first started back in April.
5 months?
Yes, back
pretty
then.
New.
We're,
mm-hmm.
we're
yeah.
new. But we've got a lot of power
oh,
behind
yeah.
us. So
you
basically,
can feel it.
We've just sort of saw this need for, you know, there's so many groups already out there, young groups. There's, you know, other avenues to pursue. But for the young professionals, you know, we really kind of wanted to get people that are, you know, career driven. They're kind of at a point in their life where they're going, gosh, you know, Reading's really given me so much. I've loved living here. I'd love to give back to the community. You know, so that's kind of where we are as far as.
Yeah, we also felt that there was a little bit of a niche that wasn't necessarily being met in the way of young professionals who were coming back to Reading and thinking, you know, gosh, this is a great area to live. I love the outdoors. I love doing all this stuff. But where do I meet other young professionals? And where do I meet new friends? And it's not necessarily I love going to the bar and love going out and having a good time at night, but it's not always the best environment
right.
to meet other young professionals and get a good idea, a good feel for who's here and make Reading that lively place that you feel when you're in Chico or you're in Bend and you
right.
just feel that
right.
youthful excitement.
There's an energy that happens in the city core. So
there is.
And I can tell our listeners right now that I'm looking at two beautiful, really together people that look like we just turned on Friends. And, you know, just hip happening with it. Chris, we were talking about the fact that you were involved with the Banff Film Festival, and tell us a little bit about that and bringing that expertise into the Young Catalysts.
Well, that was actually kind of one of the events that started the group. There were a number of young professionals in town that were doing that anyway. We appreciated your support. You guys are one of our great sponsors, and with your sponsorship, we were able to give 100% of our proceeds to one of the nonprofits in town. And that's kind of the idea, is that we're going to create other events in town or help promote events that already exist through other clubs, and do our best to try to get as much of the proceeds to some of the nonprofits by, you know, partnering with those nonprofits and just creating that youthful vibe and creating some culture in Reading that all of us young professionals can participate in. And so that's what we did. We're doing it again this next year. It's coming back in April. And we're also bringing the Telluride Film Festival screening to the Cascade Theater on October 15th.
Fabulous. I understand that's quite the festival.
It is. Yeah, they have some incredible, incredible films, some great footage, and one of which I think will be a great film to see locally, which is based on fly fishing and so forth. So,
oh, boy,
so
right up our alleys
yeah.
up there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's called the group is called Catalyst, and I understand August 31st at C.R. Gibbs at 5:30 is a gathering.
Our social meeting. So every last Tuesday of the month, we have a social meeting, and it moves around from place to place. C.R. Gibbs is a sponsor of one of our larger events, so we're having it there this month. One other thing, since we're talking about events and things we have coming up, September 15th, it's a Wednesday morning, bright and early at C.R. Gibbs, we are having a Breakfast of Champions. It's a quarterly event. This is going to be our second one. We had one back in June. And we're having Dr. Ray John from the Haven Humane Society come and speak. And basically, it'll be a quarterly event that the Catalyst Club will put on. Tickets are $5. You're going to get a great breakfast from C.R. Gibbs, so you know you can't go wrong there. And, you know, just have him kind of speak to the nonprofits in the community, you know, how things are going right now, what's sort of happening in that arena. It'll be a great event. It's $5. You can go to our website, www.readingcatalyst.com. And there's information on how to get tickets and things like that.
Okay.
You can also get tickets at the social meeting on the
31st. The last time you were here, a lady called and wanted to come. Now, there are some people, I know it's hard for us to believe, that don't have computers. So they need to do it the old-fashioned way, and that's to make a phone call to find out, I want to come to this meeting, or I want my kids or my grandkids, or they really want to come to this Breakfast of Champions event that's
yes.
happening. How does one make a call?
You can give me a call. I can give you my direct line at my office. It's 530-226-2904. You can give me a call. That goes directly to me. If I'm not there, leave a message. I'll get back to you. But we'd love to have you definitely call and get information. because it's a great event.
And that's September 15th.
It's at 7:30 in the morning, or 7 in the morning, I'm sorry.
7 o'clock 7 in the morning. 7 a.m. $5 tickets for, and Ray John's going to be speaking.
And it'll go until approximately 8:30.
And this is for anybody, right?
This is for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you give us the phone number again.
I'll give you my number again. It's 226-2904.
Okay. And can one purchase tickets at the door?
You can purchase tickets at the door. We'd like you to buy them in advance just so we know for the
how
food.
How much food, yeah.
But if you, you know, if it's just last minute and you're going, okay, great, now I don't have to go to that meeting first thing in the morning, I can come to Breakfast of Champions, perfect. But
well, we commend you. We think it's pretty phenomenal that you're taking your youthful exuberance, your professional know-how, you're encouraging others your age, around your age, to just, you know, be involved with the young professionals. The group is called Catalyst Young Professionals, and it is Alexis Pepple and Chris Heydrich. Closing thoughts.
Definitely come out to Breakfast of Champions. We're also doing the Movies in the Park, which I spoke about last week when I was on, this Friday over at the Civic Center lawn, approximately 8:15, 8:30. It's going to be Swiss Family Robinson, so it'll be fun. We'll be out there dressed up like castaways and pirates. And
you had Beetlejuice last week, right? Was that fun?
It was great. Chris and Aaron Reznor looked spot on.
They were great.
How do they join your organization?
I was just going to say actually. We are a young group still, so we still have a lot of structure to put together and really figure out what we are, and that's a great opportunity for any young professional author to come and participate and help us figure out what we're going to be. And so we're not really a club. We don't have dues. You don't have to pay anything. You just have to come participate. So the idea is, if there's something that you have seen in other towns or cities that you would love to see in Reading, instead of complaining that it's not here, come out and see if you can get it done.
You know, that's a real, you know, Chris, that's important, because there are a lot of things going on in Reading that people have no idea that, you know,
right.
there's plays going on, there's music going on, there's all types of events going on, and people do, oh, there's nothing to do here. Well, it depends on what that is. Yeah, you're not going to have a named band rolling through here every week, but it does happen. But there's so many things that our younger people can do.
Right. They really are. It's amazing, as we've been all getting together and trying to collaborate on the other different events around town. We've seen that there's just so many that I didn't know of before that we're starting to go out and support as well.
Well, you guys are the future, too. So, I mean, whatever you all are pushing is what's going to happen to the city of Reading. So I think it's important that the younger, you know, that the young entrepreneurs, as we've had on before, get into organizations like yours and continue to push for the growth of Reading, because you are the future.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, check out ReadingCatalyst.com.
ReadingCatalyst.com. And that's with a Y.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and DeBott on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 7:54 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Looks like Reading is going to cut more jobs. That's right. At the city council meeting last night, they talked about, in a 3-2 vote, they're going to cut $500,000 from the general fund budget rather than allow reserves to drop below 5%, the minimum set by policy. Of course, in a 3-2 vote, Mayor Jones, Rick Bassetti, and Missy McArthur, vice mayor, voted to keep the reserves at 5%, and Dick Dickerson and Mary Siegel said, why not let it drop down to 4.2? The point is, according to the mayor and the other two, was that letting it drop down below 5% is not a good idea at this time, because things are not going to get better over the next year. Other people are saying, well, we can make that up through other ways. But nobody knows that for sure. Every time we think it's getting better, you know, the economy drops another 2 points. So it looks like in January we're going to be laying off a number of first responders and others. $300,000 is going to come out of the police budget. I'm not sure what you think about that. You know, this is, if you listen, if you go to the blogs, and by the way, we got that out of the Record Searchlight, plus the fact of going to the meetings, but losing first responders. And this whole thing is, this whole whole campaign that we have going on now for city council, you can divide it almost into two camps. You have the ones that say, we cannot continue to pay millions and millions of dollars we don't have on for pensions and support of the public unions. Others are saying, wait a minute, we can cut out a lot of this excess and keep our first responders here. Now, there's been, you know, people have said this a couple of times, oh, well, why don't we have a sales tax that goes directly to the, you know, just upping the sales tax a little bit, that goes directly to the first responders. Well, you can't do that. There's no way of doing that. The money has to go into the general fund, and then you can't be sure it's going to go into keeping firemen and policemen on the job. Now, the associations, the unions, have said that they're willing to give up their, you know, I think it's $375,000. What if it's going to take to keep the four officers on the job, but they want to put off the negotiations for their pact with the city, which is due in, I think it's March 2011. The ones that are arguing against this, that's Jones, Bassetti, and McArthur, are saying, wait a minute, we keep kicking this can down the road. It doesn't get any better. We need to start negotiations now. Well, that, you know, that is their side of it. The other side, of course, is, where do you care where the money comes from? What if we put it off another year? So what? You know, the part that we've had, because we've had, if you listen to the show, you know that we have had on our show all sides of this. And you're going to hear ad nauseum more of it, because we're having every one of the city council candidates that agree to come on the show will be on. Yesterday, Sandra J. Spear was on, and we quizzed her on this. Well, are you going to change this? Do you agree it needs to be changed? She agreed it needs to be changed. As Mary Siegel did when she was on, she says it has to be changed. She's not sure when the process should be. Even the association itself says it needs to be changed. Well, my question is, if everybody agrees that the system needs to be changed, why can't we change it? And now it's come down to a cult of personalities, and that's exactly what it is. You've got people saying, well, they're not going to bargain with this city council. Well, why? You know, I mean, whether you like it or not, that the unions, the associations, the people that work here for our city, and who, by the way, for the most part, do just a magnificent job, are our employees. Just like the city council is our employees. And they, you know, by good faith, have to bargain with whoever that city council is. I don't, you know, in pushing it off a year, the negotiations, really doesn't make any difference, because come November, there's probably going to be some changes on the city council. I mean, you know there's going to be at least one change, because Mary is not running again. So I don't understand that, why we can't just start the negotiation now. If you're going to offer up the money, why not start the negotiations now? It's not going to make a difference. You don't have to agree to anything. And on the other side, if they're willing to give you the money, what is it that can get both to the bargaining table? And right now, if it's just because we've got people on both sides who are just angry at each other, that's not the right thing for our community. If nothing else, one of the good things about our community is that Chief Peter Hansen is staying on. So he's going to be in the middle of this, but perhaps Peter can be the bridge, you may say, between the city, since they've hired him, and the police, since he's been a policeman for 30 years. And we'll see about that. But I promise you one thing, my friends, is that we will keep going over and over this, because we will have all of the city council candidates on here and let them explain it. Ken Murray was on explaining what he thinks, and took a amount of publicity after that.
Speaking of amount, last night, I guess you can grow.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that too.
Now you can grow.
Well, you can grow it a little bit easier inside the house.
Inside the inland, as long as the owner of the property says it's okay.
Yeah, we'll get into that to the next.
Weigh in on your thoughts on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing too is the mosque, one more time, has risen again from the ashes. This is we'll be talking about that. Plus, we'll be talking, it looks like, talking some constitutional issues with our next group of guests that are going to roll through here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:05, and it's August 18th for those of you who are just waking up or to the sound of my dulcet tones. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com, or just start chatting with us. We're going to have a few things we're going to be talking about here. We have guests in the studio, but first we want to finish up on the last part of the city council. They started voting on the marijuana issue again. It seems like every day we were talking marijuana a couple of weeks ago, and I said, okay, let's kind of back off a little bit about that, besides the fact up in Hayfork that they're destroying the environment up there with nobody seeming to care where the environmental groups now. So now they've said that they can grow inside homes as long as they have the owner's permission, so they can do indoor grows. They've said that they're not... That people that work there have to have a background check by the beginning of the year. It doesn't meet all of the requirements that people wanted to change the marijuana laws here for, but it does address it. They're addressing, of course, and all the it was voted on 4-1. Now the one person that voted against it was Patrick Jones, because Patrick's always voted against it because he says one thing: it's against the law. It's against the federal law. It's not against the California law, but it is against the federal law. And we have Proposition 19, of course, coming up, where we're going to make, where the proposition is to make marijuana legal in California for all of us. Anybody that wants to grow a little bit, smoke a little bit, that's okay. You can show up to work after having used it. It can show up in your bloodstream, which is one of the big problems, is how do you now start doing drug testing? If you do, and we want a drug-free environment, and somebody use it, because marijuana can stay in your system 20 days, 30 days, whatever. So that's a big question. There's enough holes in the Proposition 9, the way it's written, to drive trucks through. Not just little trucks. Not those 150s. We're talking 18-wheelers. And lawyers right now are just lining up, because this is going to come to court. Just wait and see. And here's the best thing about this, my friends. Proposition 19 drops it on the cities and the counties to make up your own rules. That ought to be a lot of fun. So see what happens there. Because we have a very, very verbal, active group that is for not just medicinal marijuana, but for the big stuff, letting everybody grow in their backyards. Frankly, I've got this blue garden plot that we have there that Linda filled up with flowers. I'm sitting there thinking, there's like $300,000 worth of marijuana spot right there. Just a thought. Okay.
Currently, 60 degrees. It's going to be high today of 95. By the way, our chat room is open, and we are taking your call, 605-4567. You guys are going to get ready to get fired up here, because we've got three guys, and I'm saying three guys, that have got their fingers in the pie and are just shaking it up here in the North State. You're not going to want to miss the opportunity to engage. Right, Carl?
We're talking constitutional stuff. We're talking Tea Party stuff. We're talking it all. We're going to let them start rolling here right after the break, and we're going to take one of those right now. It's Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:12 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, 530-605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460, or go to our website and start chatting. Our guests today are Tim Pappas from the Constitution for Tea Parties, Greg Mann from Bostonian Tea Party, and Pete Peters from the Sons of Liberty. I would say we have a somewhat conservative group here on this side. No, the whole studio is starting to tilt to the right. So, wait a minute. Bob, run over here to the left with me and Sean. Okay, anyway. gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
We're patriots.
Good morning. Yeah,
that's right. And I'm just, you know, I'm just being facetious right there. Tim, good morning.
Morning.
Tell us a little bit about Constitution for tea parties.
Well, basically, we started as a teaching class for the Tea Party Patriots, but we had members from all the different tea parties in the area. So we decided not to affiliate with a single tea party, so we created Constitution for Tea Parties that allows basically anybody who cares or loves about the Constitution to come and learn about it. So we've taught about 60 hours of educational time regarding the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, original intent, etc.
Okay, and so you know, you reach out to everybody on this.
Everybody.
And the Constitution has become a... what's going on with the Constitution has become...
It's a focal point.
A focal point, especially in the last, what, 2 years? Or it's been longer than that, really.
Yeah, a little over 2 years, although with the June primaries and now the November elections coming up, it's really heated. People are really getting interested to know about the Constitution, how it's been changed through the years, the last 60, 70 years, by the liberals who believe it is a living, breathing document. And that concept was never intended by the Founding Fathers.
Well, you know, one of the things that is in the one of the big events that's in the news right now is the building of a mosque at 9/11.
Correct.
President Obama has said they've got the perfect right to do that under the Constitution.
And constitutionally, based on current U.S. Supreme Court precedent, they do. They have a First Amendment right to put the mosque where it is. But the issue is not so much is it constitutionally permissible, but is it morally reasonable to do it? And I think that's the issue people have with it. That is sacred ground for the United States. That is a place where 3,000 Americans died, no different than Pearl Harbor. And we wouldn't put anything in the area where we lost 2,700, etc., Navy men, Navy personnel. That was inconsistent with the honor that we give to those dead soldiers.
And so if it's the reason not to have it is a moral reason.
Moral reason.
Which I understand, but legally and constitutionally, they have a right to put it right there. In fact, they have a right to put it right in the middle of.
They do. Yeah. And what people don't understand is they have a constitutional right, but, you know, cities and counties have a right to create zoning statutes. But the Congress, some time ago, created a federal statute regarding religious places of worship that said you could trump local city county zoning ordinances to put a church in a place that it's not zoned for. And that was because of the First Amendment. They didn't want churches zoned into oblivion, so they overrode local zoning laws, and that's exactly what the mosque has done.
Pete, you've got something
there. The bottom line is we have our rights, but we use them with discretion. In other words, as Glenn Beck says, you have the constitutional right to tell your wife she looks fat in her dress. Is that a smart thing to do? Probably not. There's the difference.
Well, yeah, but we've done a lot. You see a lot of things that people do that aren't right, but they have the right to do that. You know, personally, what we believe is that, if the religion, the Islamic religion, is a compassionate, loving religion like they promote, is that it also is what is what doesn't really damage the other people around you, and does meaning to put up this mosque right there? Does it have to be right there? I know the governor has offered them property blocks away as an exchange for this, but this is something that has it continues to be in the news, and every day somebody else says something. And one day Harry Reid's against it. You know, the president says they've got a right to do it, which is correct constitution, and then he says, "Well, I'm not too sure they should do it."
Right. I think there's also a consistency issue, and I believe this is something that Tim alluded to a moment ago. There is another church right in that same area. There's a Greek Orthodox church that was actually damaged in the collapse of the Twin Towers. They are talking about what can they do to rebuild, to reconstruct on their particular site. And yet they're running into all kinds of hoops to jump through, all kinds of issues, that apparently these roadblocks are not being put up as far as the mosque is concerned, and this is a smaller construction, a smaller building. It's not going to be interference in any way, shape, or form. So perhaps the moral issue here is also, why is there a double standard that's being created?
Well, you know, I think sometimes we've gotten to the point where we're so politically correct that we will bend over backwards to have people smack us in the face. And I do not like this. The fact is that building a mosque, they have a perfect right to do it, because as soon as you start restricting the rights to put a mosque up, the next thing is your local Episcopal church.
Right. Well,
no, there is no way that should happen. On the other hand, there is the moral imperative.
Well, political correctness is a way of creating class warfare.
Well, and that is something that is it's getting more and more prevalent.
Absolutely. It's the one way. See, that's how the liberals work. If they can get us divided and backbiting each other, then they win, because then there's no unity within the country. If we stop backbiting each other and return to the traditional ways that made this country great, which is what the Founding Fathers intended, then we become unbeatable.
Yeah, wedge issues are always going to be an issue of dividing and conquering, and this is supposed to be a nation of gathering together, growing, strengthening, being free to speak, being free to express, to assemble. We need to champion what our Constitution has provided to us in the way of these wonderful liberties, not cut them down.
Well, you know, one of the things that it's, and it's kind of a good segue for this, as you know, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who is on our station here, made a, as she said, a big mistake. She used a pejorative term for race, the N-word, 11 times while talking to one of her callers. The firestorm which started has led to this, where she is, at the end of her contract in January, is not going to continue her show. But one of the things she wrote with this, and this kind of goes along with this, is my hopes with my apology, which was true and immediate and uncoerced, was that the silver lining might be a dialogue be started to stop hate and bigotry. I still hold out some hope, but I am realist, and I fear that those who frankly want to, that there are those who frankly want to encourage hate and anger. Now, when I first started out in radio, people would disagree. They disagreed. They didn't hate. They didn't try to censor. They didn't try to destroy an opposing point of view. Instead, they just argued and debated, argued and disagreed, and debated and argued. But our society has changed dramatically. Self-appointed activist types breed hate, breed anger, breed destruction. Should anyone hold up a mirror or dare to disagree? This environment, as you know, is not only in radio and television. It is in politics. It is in every area of our society, in your neighborhoods, in your school districts, at work. But we've got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back. You're listening to Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460. If you're just tuning in, currently 68 degrees, going to be high today of 98. Our chat room is open. Okay, you guys, it's firestorm time. We've got Tim Pappas on, Greg Mann, and Pete Peters. And Pete, we are going to go right to you to start off this segment about, tell us about your organization. What's up with your organization?
We are the Sons of Liberty. Sons of Liberty originates from those are the folks who threw the tea over the side of the boat. Those are the people that were organized by Samuel Adams. Great historical significance to the name, and that's why we like it. At the same time, it was the Boston Tea Party. And so we have the Bostonian Tea Party here in Reading, as well as the Constitutional Tea Party. We are smaller tea parties. We, in our group, we like to walk through the door, roll up our sleeves, and get to the red meat issues. We like people to be able to come in and comment from their heart what is really bothering them. And at the same time, we want to facilitate strategies to where we can maybe make a difference. We can disseminate information, such as what we're doing with the Constitutional Compass, a newspaper that Greg started with our Tea Party Alliance. We also do things like taking a picture on the bridge with a big banner telling the wavering Democratic congressmen on the health care bill that if you vote for this, you're going to lose your job. And we sent that to some 35 wavering Democratic congressmen in Washington, and we hope they lose their job for voting for that bill. So we do a simple thing like gathering up some money and sending it to Jan Brewer in Arizona and saying, we admire what you're doing, standing up for the citizens of your country, standing up for, I mean, of your state, to defend your state against the horrible atrocities coming across the border. I don't care what the federal government says. You have a duty to defend your citizens, and she's standing up, and we want to honor that. And we send her a little old $75 that goes into their defense fund. That's the kind of thing we do with spirit and passion in our group.
Oh, well, you know, I've been to one of your meetings. I try to go to meetings for everybody, and we've had all different types of organizations here. And for people that think, oh, you're just hearing one side, we've had the ACLU on, and they've had a great time when they were coming through here. They don't agree with everything that you all seem to, or you all are espousing.
No.
Okay, and now Greg Mann, who was, our introduction to Greg was, gosh, it was in January of, 2008, I think. Is that when you started?
No, 2009.
2009.
Yeah.
When you started the.
I think
the,
it was February, but right. In that neighborhood.
You walked in and said, I want to start something, or I have something I want, I'm interested in, and it's called the Bostonian Tea Party, and I'd like to talk about it. And we said, do you have a website or anything? And Greg said, no. Do you have any phone numbers for people to call? Well, you know, not really. Come back when you have a website.
We had three people at that time.
That's right. He said, come back when you have a website. We came back like 10 days later, so I have a website. And then that first big event was the April 15th, was the walk across the Sundial Bridge.
Yeah.
And since then, there's been a lot of things happening in the Tea Party and lots of events. But they've become a force, I believe, in American politics, an unorganized force, which is fine because there's nothing that you can point out and say this is a national leadership issue or anything. It's people that care. And that's one of the things we espouse, is people that care need right. to get involved, right?
Well, the beauty of this is it is truly grassroots. Pete, just a moment ago, was talking about, you know, the origins of the name Sons of Liberty and the Boston Tea Party. We came up with the name Bostonian Tea Party simply because we're not Bostonians, because we live here in Reading, but the idea is that at heart, at principle, we're supposed to all be Bostonians and be supporting our Constitution, supporting the freedoms and liberties that our founders gave us, even to the extent that if we need to toss tea over the side in order to make a point, we will. And of course, when you joined us at the bridge, April 15th of 2009, our first gathering was a symbolic gesture of that form. People brought their tea bags down there and put them into the ammo cans, and we sealed up the ammo cans so that we were sure that we weren't running afoul of the fish and game, and tossed it into the river and let it go down the river and gathered it back up responsibly and so forth. So
can I give another a better visual than ammo cans?
Because
okay. It sounds like we're out there, you know, ready to throw stuff and blow stuff up. What happened that day, I think, really sent a pretty much a shockwave through the North State. How many people showed up? We have just about 2 minutes left before we have to go to Fox News. How many people showed up with their kids, with every age, every religion, people who were just are at that place in our society where we're fed up, we care about the flag, we're proud to be American, we are here to make a statement with our minds, our bodies, our souls, our children, and there was a couple thousand people. I mean, we still don't have a number.
Well,
we, Greg?
We were hoping to have between 500 and maybe 1,000 people. Because the crowd was so much bigger than we had anticipated, any plans that we had to get a number count kind of went out the window. But we did make an attempt, and to the best of our ability to determine, we probably had between 2,500 and 3,000 people, and just taking an average, we were using the number roughly 2,700.
April 15th, just a year before this year. And it was really, it's what's happening in this movement, is growing, and we're really so glad that you guys are on today. We're going to have to take a break here for Fox News, but when we come back, We've got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
We did it again this April 15th, and this time we had this fabulous opportunity to interface with some other fabulous people and groups. I mean, I want to thank Pete and Tim both for being involved.
Phenomenal speakers, by the way. They were very riveting speeches from almost everyone that was up on the podium.
Yeah, and I also want to thank Carl and Linda, all of the people who contributed to this.
We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the different tea parties and the movement here on KCNR. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, the home of Free Fire Media.
You lose touch in terms of what...
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 1460, good morning. It is 8:34 in the morning. Phone lines here, 530-605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. You can give us a call. Well, our guest today is Tim Pappas, and the Constitution for the Tea Parties.
Correct.
And we have Greg Mann, the Bostonian Tea Party, and Pete Peters, the Sons of Liberty. Mm-hmm. The climate in the United States right now is one of anger, it seems like, in many cases. What I just read, what Schlesinger wrote about, Dr. Laura wrote about, wasn't just necessarily about her show. It was about everything. And people have had enough, or they need to see changes, they need it for this. You all are proposing changes. Is that correct? You're getting groups of people together?
Absolutely. Yes, actually, it should be a cohesiveness in this process, and yet we want to retain the individual character and autonomy of these groups. So we've put together an organization kind of loosely defined as the North State Tea Party Alliance, and I want to thank Pete's wife for the name, actually. She's the one who came up with the alliance idea. We were struggling with whether we were an affiliation, an alliance, or whatever. She came up with that. So, but the concept is essentially to band together for things that need either large numbers or that we are all very, very much in concert with and want to join together on, but still leave these individual autonomous groups to function within their personal preferred areas and focus on those. It helps facilitate communication so that we're not stumbling over one another schedules-wise or so that... we're not being redundant in some of the things that we're doing. So, it's kind of neat. We're not only enjoying the association, but in addition to that, we're actually moving things forward much more quickly as a result of it.
Okay. Well, if I might add, some might accuse us, or our group anyway, being too aggressive. I'm guilty as charged. Because I think that's what the people want. They want some aggressive leadership out there to deal with these issues, to make sure that we are not going in a socialist, communist direction in this country. They want the aggressive leadership to stop that, to maintain our Constitution as it was written by our founding fathers, maintain our heritage. Yes, guilty as charged. We are aggressive about this, and we're going to do everything we can to save our country.
Tim? You're the constitutional expert here.
Yeah, my class, basically, we go to the root of the Constitution. So if you're talking about change, yeah, we want change. We want the country to go back to the way the Constitution was created by the founding fathers, and that was a limited federal government, minimal taxes, with more power to the states in their natural sovereign state. That's what we want, and that's what we talk about in the Constitution class.
Okay. One of the things that I find interesting is how so much of the media is against what the Tea Party espouses.
They don't know us. Yeah, they don't choose to know us.
We're gonna. You know what? We have to take a quick break here. This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite right off Airport Road, right down from the Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley, the owner there, has been serving local customers since 1985, except the time he took off to be in the 82nd Airborne. So he does Dish TV. He guarantees his work, and he's a local guy, which, you know, it's nice knowing that if you're doing business with a local guy, you can call him up, and he comes out, and he takes responsibility. That's a big thing. He takes responsibility for his people and his work. Give him a call at 244-1988 or just drop by. Just go down Airport Road, and you'll see the place with all the satellite dishes. It might be a good indicator that's the place. Okay, our guest today, Greg Mann from the Bostonian Tea Party, Pete Peters from the Sons of Liberty, and Tim Pappas, who teaches classes on the Constitution for the different tea parties.
Correct.
Okay, now, what's the next big event that's coming up here for the North State and whatever's here with people that believe that there should be change?
Well, I know that Tim is continuing to work on his constitutional classes, which are great. I know that Pete continues to work with his group on things to support Arizona, things to keep in touch with current events and keep their group moving. We have, as of Constitution Week, between September the 17th and the 23rd, Sue Ann, one of our group members, is doing several events for Constitution Week, and we'll be publishing information about that here very shortly. We also are together working on 9/12, a bus trip down to Sacramento. And this is going to be a bit of a repeat of the constitutional convoy that we did last year. That last year it was 8/28. This year it's 9/12, and we're taking a bus down from North State. We're meeting up with the folks down in Chico and Oroville. They have buses. We're all going to do a convoy. The Ridge Riders from the Paradise area, a motorcycle group, are going to be joining us. Rubber ducky, we've got a convoy.
Hey, let's go to the phones here. Art, you're on KCNR. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah, Carl. Excuse the heavy breathing. I just piled off my bike.
Okay. I thought you were just excited here.
Well, at 74, that takes heavy breathing.
Okay.
2 points to make, one on the Tea Party and one on the mosque. I'll take the Tea Party first. First, the Tea Party has clearly shown that they've amassed enormous power, and they've amassed it quickly, not only locally and statewide, but across the nation because of the direction that this character in the Oval Office has decided to take this country. I support the Tea Party. I support what they're trying to do. But I think they are dead wrong when they continually say that they're not going to endorse candidates. I believe the Tea Party should endorse local candidates, state candidates, and eventually national candidates to run. That's where their power is. I think they gain nothing by not going to one person or another and letting the public simply decide what they want to do. I think the public is looking for these endorsements. I think they want to support people that support the Tea Party, and that's the one thing I'd like to see change. The second thing on the mosque is this. I've heard the excuse under the sun about this mosque, what their rights are, from Republicans, Democrats, Dixiecrats, and every other crat in the country. And here's something I have never heard. What about this? The imam and the people that support this mosque and the Muslim money that will come into this country to support it, what about they really don't give a damn what the people of New York or the American people think? And until they make a change, if they ever make a change in the location of this thing, that's exactly where they're at. They do not care. That's my comments.
Well, thanks, Art. And I think there's a lot of people that agree with you on that. They don't care. And okay, well, thanks a lot, Art. And stay safe on that bike.
If I might comment on his point about endorsing candidates, keep in mind that Tea Party, there are all different Tea Parties organized differently, doing different things. Nobody is beholden to another Tea Party, at least not as we see the organization. However, we must keep in mind that some Tea Parties are organized as nonprofits. under the Internal Revenue Service laws, and with that come restrictions as to what they can do in terms of endorsing politicians.
But I also
you can endorse radio shows, though, right?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We kind of like this one, actually. the other thing, too, to Art's point as far as the Tea Parties, being grassroots organizations, being individual autonomous groups in many cases, I would tend to disagree a bit. I think that there was some hesitation during the primary cycle to endorse candidates, but I'm not so sure that there are going to be that many organizations that are going to hold out endorsements during the general election. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how that sorts out.
Well, but they have to be careful. If they wish to take advantage of the nonprofit tax laws,
well,
then they have to live with the restrictions there, too, which mean they cannot endorse candidates.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, I'd like to see is, you know, the ability for, and again, you know, KCNR is a local station. We're a community station. Yeah, we have national shows on, you know, top-rated shows, but we are, you know, what we really emphasize is our local programming. We like to have people, we want to have people on that have feelings, that care about our community, care about our country. And I understand where people get, when you start giving your stamp of approval to candidates, at that point, things change. One of the things we try really not to do is endorse a candidate. And people say, why? It's because as soon as you endorse somebody, then anything else you say after that, no matter how fair you try to be, mm-hmm. it is still mm-hmm. colored by that one part of endorsements. So anyway, mm-hmm. Before we take a break, we've got somebody on the line today. And I tell you what, we'll wait for that for just a second. And because our board operator, Sean, has already got two other people on the line. Okay, let's bring up Roadrunner. Roadrunner, good morning. You are on KCNR. Roadrunner? Hello?
Yes.
Roadrunner, you're on.
Great. Hey, good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
I'm still trying to talk to Carl. You haven't connected me.
Yes, you're on. Roadrunner, turn down your radio.
It's off.
Okay.
Good morning, Carl. Good
okay.
morning, Linda. How are you?
We're fine. How are you?
Great. Hey, listen, a great show this morning, by the way. I really enjoyed just about everything that you had on there this morning. I'm calling for a shameless promotion, and you already know what it is, sort of. As you know, the Star Writers group often joins up with our groups, the Missing in America Project and the Patriot Guard Writers. A few weeks ago, a young woman had an accident on her motorcycle. Her name was Shelley Spooner. She was injured pretty severely, and she had a life flight to the hospital, which, amongst all the other stuff, cost her $31,000 just for the flight. This Saturday at Jindra's 76 service station at the corner of Cypress and Bocelli,
right.
they're holding a benefit car wash and a bake sale, and I don't know what all else, but it's going to happen from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay.
They're looking for donations. They're trying to raise money for this young woman. She's going to be a long time recovering. And so they're trying to help her out in any way they can. And, of course, the life flight doesn't get covered by our medical policies that we might have. So if you could promote that, I guess maybe we already have. I really appreciate it. It's Saturday the 21st at Jindra's, Cypress and Bocelli, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's a bake sale and a car wash and... you can eat snacks while you're watching your car get clean.
Good. Well, give us a call again tomorrow so we can remind everybody there, Roadrunner.
Great. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate your help. These are nice people, and she needs some help.
Great. Okay, thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
Okay, we're going to hold. We've got the phone lines filled up. We're going to hold on to the for Justin until we do our break, and then we come back. You'll be right up then, Justin, so please hang on. This is Carl Lindebaugh on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Back down, no, I won't back down. You can stand me up
like
at
it.
The gates of hell, but I won't back.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Let's go to the phones. Justin, good morning.
Yep, I'm here.
You're on. You're on
the All right, how's it going, guys?
Oh, great. Thanks, Justin.
I think they're okay. They're all still sitting up alive here.
Oh, very nice. Well, I wanted to call in and mention about, you know, the Ground Zero Mosque. I mean, I'm a Navy veteran. I served from 2000 to 2004. I'm a Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom veteran, and it makes my blood boil that they're building a mosque on Ground Zero. But also, if you look at the Westboro Baptist Church, you know, you've got a church within our own walls that is going around and protesting at military funerals. And I think for outsiders, they're seeing this, you know, radical group, and they're going out and protesting, you know, service members who have given their life for the country. You know, pretty much it's showing the rest of the world that, you know, our politicians aren't going to stand up for our service members. And that, you know, if outsiders want to spit on our graves or, you know, spit in our faces, they're going to allow it. And until that changes, unfortunately, our country is just going to keep going downhill. It's my hope that the Tea Party is going to be able to change that, though.
Well, Justin, you know, I think, you know, you're right. If the Westboro Baptist Church or the Ku Klux Klan wanted to start a church there, I mean, what would the reactions be to the most of the media and everything? So,
oh yeah,
I think at some point we've got to stand up and just say, okay, yes, there's a constitutional right here, but you will no longer slap me in the face. And, you know,
exactly.
We need to stand up and just say, enough is enough. Take back our country.
Well, unfortunately, none of our politicians have got any spine anymore. I mean, it's you know, whatever, you know, person is lining their pockets is the one that's pulling the strings.
Yeah, you know, and, you're absolutely right, Justin, on everything you said here. And it's time to stand up. It's time to take back the country. It's time to stop lining the pockets of our representatives. You know, since when did it become a point that money has become such a big thing? And, you know, the other thing we have to do, too, is take a look at the people that we've got running that can actually talk to each other without destroying each other. That's the big thing.
Well, and I think
I think,
Justin, you're absolutely right. You are doing exactly what needs to be done as far as speaking out. We don't need less freedom of speech. We need more freedom of speech, and we need people to step up to the plate and hit that ball out of the park.
And, hey, Justin, thanks for your phone call. We're running out of time here, but thanks so much for calling and for listening.
And come see us
at
our tea party.
Have a great day. God bless.
Come to our tea party, Justin.
Okay, and speaking of that, how do people come in, Pete, for Sons of Liberty?
Where
do y'all meet at?
We meet every Thursday at the downtown mall, or at the Mount Shasta Mall, at the Round Table Pizza at 6 o'clock p.m.
Okay, and Greg?
Tuesday, Hilltop, conference room next to Tobacco and Brew,
2143 Hilltop Drive.
Yeah, that 6 o'clock Tuesday.
6 o'clock on Tuesdays there. It's a great place. In fact, that Thursday is where we're having right there is the big cigar night. Yeah. Okay. And Tim.
We have our classes on Thursday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Shasta Bible College. We are currently in treaty discussions with the Sons of Liberty to see if we can, you know, fix those times so we're not in competition.
I was going to say, how do people go to both of them if they want to?
We want to fix that, really.
You know,
bad.
We have in our fair town here, we have a number of different tea parties that are meeting. We try to give as equal airtime to everybody, of course. And the big thing, though, is like Justin said. And by the way, Justin, thank you for your service. I didn't get a chance to say that. You're a hero. And the things that bother you bother so many other people that we don't have. If you say something that can be considered disagreeable, it's not enough for somebody to just say, hey, you know, what you said I disagree with completely. And it's not enough for a person, so say they do offend somebody, to apologize. Now we must destroy them. Now we must take the people like a Tea Party candidate and destroy them. It's not enough to disagree. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And it goes the other way, my friends, and you know that we don't need to destroy somebody that believes in the progressive liberal cause. You don't need to destroy them. You show by facts on both sides that there's things.
Debate in the arena of ideas.
That's it.
That's part of the reason why we're doing this newspaper, the Constitutional Compass. This is the arena of ideas.
And where can you get that? Your constitutional conference.
All of our meetings.
All of your meetings.
We will be publishing that here at the end of this month, and then every other week thereafter at our meetings.
Is it online?
Not yet.
But it will be.
We're going to be putting content online pertaining to this. This is new, so we are working out bugs. But remember, you inspired us on a website.
Well, can we just invite everybody to come out and be a part of the Tea Parties. Whatever Tea Party strikes your fancy, all the Tea Parties have a slightly different format. Pick the one you like. Just go get involved.
Yeah, everybody. And we're saying this for everybody, all of our citizens. Get involved. If you don't agree with the Tea Party, you agree with a different group, join.
Go there.
Be heard. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl and Linda.
Yeah, well, it's, you know what? Again, it's for our community. We're going to have this week we're having a number of things that are catching up with us, and we just want to say thanks for listening. This is Carl and Linda Bott right here on Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.